Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. Welcome to the 453rd continued programming of Fighting Words on the Fighting Words News Network. Here tonight we have our normal cadre of sports aficionados with Z and Ty on. These programs are brought to you in each and every evening of each and every night of the week. In grateful appreciation of the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, the men and women of Police and Fire Services, by Dr. Kathleen Carroll, a board-certified psychiatrist in practice since 2003. Dr. Carroll was previously the Director of Inpatient Services at Bay Pines VA Hospital and the Bay Pines VA Medical Center. Dr. Carroll specializes in the treatment of children of ages 6 and older and the treatment of adults, in other words, from pediatric to geriatric. She's also an all-time triathlete, and if you're having a problem breaking through to the next sports level, give her a call at area code 813-689-2466. Well, guys, we're joined by another friend of ours, a guy I've known for many, 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 many years, a guy who's just started on Blog Talk with his own program, Dr. Ron Repesee. Ron, how you doing?
I am doing good, Butch, and hey, guys, I have to offer a special note of thanks to Butch. We've been friends for a long time, and he made a guest appearance on Rejuvenation Health Radio, which is Thursdays at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, I know it's early for him to get up, but he did make a great appearance, and we had a lot of good feedback when people heard that a local St. Joe boy was going to be on the show. So thanks a lot again, Frank. I really do appreciate you showing up to the show.
Well, it was good being on. For those of you who don't know, Dr. Ron and his son, Dr. Ron, both have a show there on Thursdays. But young Dr. Ron has a very active chiropractic practice down in Fort Myers, Naples area. So if you're down in that area and you need some help with some medical attention, give Dr. Ron a call. Or if you have any problems with balance or anything like that, he helps you out. He's got a great program that, especially for the elderly, when we start losing our balance, it's time to start looking at some ways to make sure that we're not breaking anything. And Ron and his wife developed a program a few years back, and it's a really good program, so you may want to get in touch with him.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And we also have a great non-invasive, non-surgical weight loss program that we're working on, not only to get you skinny, but to get you healthy. And maybe one of these nights, if you let me come back on, we'll talk about some of the breathing techniques that
sure.
we're teaching people, especially, and it really applies to boxing, too, because you know when a boxer's mouth opens up and he starts getting rid of too much carbon dioxide, his stamina just goes away. But we also have a breathing program now that we've incorporated in the practice. I just wanted to really just come on and just thank you. I mean, you were a big help to the show on Thursday, and we're only 5 weeks, 6 weeks in, and we don't have the audience we have yet, but we are growing, and we started out as a helping people lose weight, but now it looks like we're turning into a alternative health radio station, giving people options on what to do for their health.
Great, great. And talk about boxing and breathing. One of our guests tonight, Tex Cobb, is known to have said at one point, "Why me work? All I have to do is hit somebody in the mouth, and that's all I have to do, and then I'm done."
He's right. And when Tex comes on, tell him I remember him down at Dr. Prince's office eating all the gumballs out of the machine. That man could eat some chewing gum. he's very, very shy. Very shy and introverted.
We've had him on before.
All right,
Ty had a good time with him last time he was on.
man's been around the block a few times.
Yeah.
I know when to shake his hand. I couldn't find my hand.
Yeah. Hey, Ty, you know, he's just now moved into a new form of his life, and he's going to be a horticulturist. That's not like the guy that takes the hooker to a piano player, but he's trying to do a gardener and everything else. So we may want to ask him about that for
him. Well, Samurai's used to study calligraphy, so. Why can't Tex be in the flowers? I say.
we better check his tea, because I don't want Tex getting low tea on us. we might have to send Tex some supplements there. That feminine side could hurt him in that ring. Well, look, guys, thank you so much. I'm going to listen to the show when I get to my destination. I might maybe have a chance to call back when things are going on. But again. Thank you, everybody, for the support you gave me this week.
No problem.
Take care, Dr. Ron. Thanks for coming on.
All right. Thank you. Well, we'll be back. Okay. See ya.
Okay. Take care.
Bye. Bye.
Hey, you guys.
Dr. Ron on, he was extremely enlightening about some of the physical aspects of boxing. In fact, he and Dr. Chris had quite a bit of tete-a-tete,
right.
Which was, you know, pretty much hilarious to me.
Yeah, well, they both have been fighters, so they both have trained and know what's going on. Ron and I were classmates at St. Joe's, and he went on to medical school, and he had a very active practice in Chester, and then moved down here about 10 years ago, and he's been down here ever since. But I'm going to leave the mic live here, and let's see if we can't get the good Dr. Chris on. I promised Tony we'd have him on by 6:15.
I would hope you would have promised us he'd have been on too, because, man, Dr. Chris is just, not only is he enlightening, but he's truly entertaining, even for those of us that are supposed to be the entertainers, right? So.
Here we go. So we can get this going.
You know, tonight, a good friend of the show, one Amir Hardcore Mansoor, gets the national TV spotlight in the main event fight against one Kelvin Price, who was last seen getting knocked out in the third round by Deontay Wilder on premium cable networks.
Right.
So good for Amir. Again, unfortunately, he's no longer with Davey Tiberi and those guys, but still good for him. They were proud for him. We're proud for him, and we wish him the best tonight, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this is a fight that Amir should win, and it looks like he's set up to win. So we wish him success, and yeah, hopefully more to come.
And, you know, with that said, it could be a tricky fight. Kelvin Price is, you know, he's like 6'5", and he's going to want to keep distance from Amir. Amir is a southpaw heavyweight, which you don't see a lot of, and he's a very dangerous puncher. So this should be an interesting fight for those of you who haven't had a chance to see him because he hasn't gotten any national spotlight. Please tune in to NBC Sports 1 and check him out tonight at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, and Amir is fighting taller guys, so.
Yeah.
He's used to getting in on the inside. He's used to he does pretty good body work. And as you said, he's a dangerous puncher.
And, you know, at 6'2", it's funny because he has to get used to fighting taller guys at 6'2". And at 6'2", during the golden era of heavyweights, he would have been the taller guy. So
yeah, once you're in that heavyweight division, then you're looking at guys around 6'4" and up.
Right.
You know, generally.
So this will be a good style test in a style matchup for Amir. This is not a guy who's going to stand in front of him. This is a guy who can move. This is a guy who has range. This is a guy who's going to look to tie Amir up when he gets in. Kelvin Price's most notable victory was over Tor Hamer in a fight in which Hamer actually didn't quit. So, he was able to show his skills through the whole fight. So it'll be an interesting fight tonight.
Yeah, Amir's aggressive. One thing, Amir's pretty aggressive.
Right.
So he'll seek out. And Price, he doesn't strike me as having the feet to always get away. And as you said about tying him up, I think he can in spots, but depending on Amir's mentality, if he's gonna grind it out like that, then even tying him up is going to be a problem.
Price is also not a big puncher either, as well as he does.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's not the strongest physically guy.
No, that's a very, very good point. So he could also have a very hard time tying Amir up on the inside.
Yeah, and controlling him.
I mean, Amir is a ripped 6'2", 229 for this fight. So, I mean, he definitely looks like he's ready to take advantage of the spotlight.
Yeah, and aggressive.
Speaking of spotlights, the spotlight was on Brooklyn last week in the Brooklyn battle between Zab Judah and Paulie Malignaggi. Zito, what did you think of that? Were you surprised by the results and how the fight took place?
I was a little bit surprised, but honestly couldn't be surprised. When Zab Judah is not an offensive fighter. To be honest, he's not naturally an offensive fighter. He's going to lay back and try to pick you apart. He's not going to press the action. He's not going to lead. For the most part, naturally.
He's only an offensive fighter when he can overwhelm you.
Or when he has you in trouble.
Yeah, like there has to be a talent gulf to a certain extent.
Yeah, when he can touch on you all the time. When Zab can touch on you all the time, he becomes more offensive. He can let go more.
You know, it's funny. With that said, Zito, Paulie's hands look significantly quicker than Zab's to me.
You know what? Not to me. It looked like Paulie, he was busier. He jabbed more, and when you jab a lot, that's your fastest punch, your jab.
Right.
So you're going to look quick. And then when you start doubling it and tripling up on it, moving around the guy, then that's different. Zab, when he did let him go, he looked just as quick, if not quicker, especially with that left. The problem was he never did. He rarely, if ever, did. Zab froze up. And
Paulie's feet look a lot faster than Zab's, too, at this stage.
Oh, well, and I think that's naturally – Paulie can go offensive. That's the thing.
I tell you what, when I saw Paulie stalking Zab, I knew the fight was going the wrong way.
I'm gonna go back to one thing that's always rung true about Zab. I hate to say it. That boy don't want to fight.
Nope.
I never like calling anyone's heart out because I don't know the heart of a man. But proven time and time again, Zab's heart doesn't tick the way of a fighter. He's a boxer. He's a sport boxer. But Zab is not a fighter. Yeah, he might get in a street fight, baby. I don't know how that goes. But generally, those are tests of endurance. I mean, boxing, is, I mean, the sport of boxing, Zab can do. The heart of a fighter, Zab does not have. And I hate to say it, but time and time again, when Floyd outfights you, Floyd's style is not to fight, but he outfights you.
No, not when Floyd outfights you. When Paulie Malignaggi
outfights
you. I wanted to call you and say, this boy doesn't want to fight. That's what happened.
I caught up on that.
And you know what Zab said after the fight? He blamed it on Paulie not wanting to engage and moving too much.
Oh, Paulie engaged all night. His fists were moving. He's right. His fists were moving all night.
With that said, we had a shocker as well with Sean Porter upsetting Devin Alexander. Did that surprise you, or did the fact that he fought that Tim Bradley game plan, you think, kind of took advantage?
And you said the perfect thing, the Tim Bradley game. The whole fight, I was looking like, he's a little bigger than Alexander, but he's fighting like Tim Bradley. I've seen Sean Porter fight a bit, and he's not a one-style guy, I should say. He can fight on the outside a little bit. He's always has his chin up. He's rough on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I say about Devin Alexander, and I've seen it ever since. I mean, even a little bit before the Batiste fight and the Durango fight, a little bit before he really knocked Durango out. He doesn't like pressure a lot. Not pressure, effective pressure. Not the pressure that when you can get to him and he can't do a whole lot to you back. And Sean Porter, I mean, he didn't fight the most technical fight, but it was obvious that was his game plan.
Devin's always been open to overhand right hands too, man.
But it was more or less timed with rushes. He would rush it,
so
he would never plan have his feet settled to land it as clean. But his inside work, he mauled him. He totally mauled Devin Alexander on the inside. And
it was exactly like the Tim Bradley fight.
Exactly. And Devin couldn't handle that. It seemed like Devin, he didn't have anything that would make him respected.
Sean Porter. The thing is, it doesn't to me personally look like Devin has necessarily matured as a fighter in all the years he's been at top level. Not that he's regressed like an Andre Berto per se, but kind of like a Chad Dawson, where he plateaued at a certain point. I haven't seen a certain level of maturity that's come with his time fighting world class foes on a consistent level, I should say.
Okay. Yeah, and Sean Porter, I mean, one thing I'm gonna say, he dropped down to 147.
Right,
and that I think helps him out extremely because he's going to be bigger than these guys, and he's proven he proved in that fight he could take tremendous punches.
Well, that's the one thing about Sean Porter, he could take a shot, and you know what? If you're going to fight with your chin up, you better be able to take a punch.
Right. Guys, we have a good friend of the program's on with us, a man who's can take a licking and keep on ticking in any nationality, any area, any arena, Mr. Tony Thompson. Tony, how you doing?
I'm good, fellas. How's it going tonight?
We're doing
great. How's it going, Tony?
How you doing?
Sunday morning.
Sir?
I said I'm easy like Sunday morning.
Hey!
Hey!
There you go. But Tony, how's the fight business looking for you? Do you have anything lined up?
I think we're just about to finalize a fight with Orlando Solis in March. So
Oh wow, that's a
significant fight, man. Because the winner of that is supposed
really
to be ranked
fight.
Number 2 in the IBF, and we know who owns the IBF, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Goddamn Vlad.
That's great. Will it be local or where will you have to go for it?
No, it's the ball. It's the bull.
Oh,
it's gonna be in Turkey. Seriously,
yeah, Turkey. Yeah.
Now, why Turkey? Just curiosity. The Cuban fighting the American in Istanbul, Turkey.
Well, I mean, I would think the biggest reason because I don't have enough money to make it in D.C. and I'm not the promoter. I'm just giving it a guess.
Right.
So, you know, other than that, I couldn't tell you what the hell they thinking. They tell me to come on this date. They give me a check. I whoop somebody's ass. I go home.
Is the Turkey payday a better payday than it would be if it were stateside?
Not really.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was stateside, but not as worth as some of the places I've been, you know, lately. Not as much, but it's worth it in terms of the status, the caliber of fighter I'm fighting,
right, and
the fact that, like I said, whoever wins the fight is number two and I'll be up. That makes it worth it.
Sure.
Stylistically, to me, that's a good fight, too. Just, I mean, as a fan, stylistically, it's a very good fight. Two very, very crafty heavyweight boxers in the ring.
Most definitely. And even one of us is doing a whole bunch of running, moving around. We're both going to get hit. We're both going to take some hits. So I think it's a very fan-friendly fight. I'm wishing somebody over here in the States, you know, realizes that I'm having a resurgence of sorts and puts it on some American TV where the fans can see it. Yeah.
Tony, now, Solis is a crafty Cuban fighter. What do you see in him that you could take advantage of to win?
Well, I mean, first of all, he's going to be in front of me. I don't care who you are. I don't care how crafty you are. If you stand in front of me, it's been known I'm going to hit you. I'm going to throw a lot of punches. You know, even if I get the baseball percentage and only bat 300, you know, just the amount of volume of punches I'm going to throw is going to make up for it. You're going to get hit if you stand in front of me. And I've also proven that if I hit you off, then I'm probably going to knock you out. It probably won't be one of those, you know, because it's first David Price fight, you know, I play an incredible-looking knockout, more like the second David Price fight, where I'm just going to keep touching you and touching you and touching you until the referee have mercy on your ass. So.
Excellent. And you say it's going to be early March?
March 22nd.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any chance that's going to be televised?
I mean, not over here that I know of. Unless you have any Turkish channels you can pull up on, brother. that's you guys' job, man. Start spreading the word, man. Get it out there to some network TV or something.
Well, after we talked the other day, I did call Kathy and leave your number with her and told her that you'd be interested in something locally and especially something on MSNBC.
Well, they need to do is stop. Kathy has a demic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Right.
Yeah, they need to stop having Adamac over there, man, to make that fight.
No disrespect to Kathy Duva, but I can't see Kathy Duva putting Adamac in the ring with you. I think it, for her at this point in stage in Adamac's career, it's too dangerous a fight. And based on his name, he can navigate around you. And unfortunately, that's what happens. You know that.
Yeah, I do, but, you know, it's a good fight. It's easy to fight to make. I have no promoter again. I'm riding solo. It's me and my wife. So, you know, and it could be of some significance. She don't want to keep the guy out of lingo and try to maneuver for a few more years till he get a title fight. You can take the fast
guy. Exactly.
You know, I'm going to be ranked high in the IBF. He's going to be ranked high. They probably can make it for a mandatory. Let's get it on.
Sure.
It makes sense.
Sure.
You want to keep killing Adamac from $35,000, $40,000, $50,000 fights, he's going to run out of juice before he gets a chance to get where he needs to be. He's been exposed. He's not that great of a fighter. So it's not like he won't get touched up very soon. And he's going to lose all credibility. So they better go ahead and put him out there to the wolves right there. And I am the wolf I'm talking about. In this situation, I'm the wolf guy.
There you go. Well, we did, like I said, after I talked to you the other day, I did call her and, then I left an email for her last night. So let's see if we can. I'll keep up until you tell me or that you got something, or you tell me that to back off, but I'll do that. Keep on doing that.
Most definitely. You know, I don't turn nothing down for my collar, fellas.
Sure. Tony, you've had a really, really colorful career. Who would you say was the toughest guy you fought?
I mean, small guys. Oh, okay. I was about to say, did you really want to ask me that easy?
Oh,
<yeah. laughs> but listen, I'm going to tell you guys a story, right? You said, other than Klitschko, there was a guy in Baltimore, ballroom boxing, one of my earliest fights, this guy named Scott Jones. I bullshit you not. Oh, I'm sorry. I can't say that. I bullshit you not. Scott Jones. He was a local mailman, you know, and the dude fought me like I owed the money, slash dated his mom, slash shot his sister. I mean, he was just mad at me, man. And I hit the guy with shot after shot after shot, and I couldn't put him away, man. He just kept coming. He made me fight the whole time.
Wow. That's
and he
great.
Looked like the guy tag on Michelin, man.
Uh-huh.
That was the part of it. I was fighting the Michelin man, and he was taking it, man. You know, I couldn't get through them roads, man. It was an incredible fight. But I'm telling you, guys like that, and another guy, I'm going to show you guys familiar with Marion Wilson. You know, those type of guys, they teach you how to really compete in that ring. They might not get all the notoriety as the Klitschkos and the champions, but those are the guys that teach the young guys how to compete and survive in that ring when you're not. When things are not going your way.
Uh-huh.
So Tony, you and I are roughly, you know, we're the same age. And one thing I do know about being this age is if you take care of your body, it takes care of you, and it still responds the way you want it to respond. The recovery time's a little longer. That's the main thing. With that being said, and you growing more as a boxer because, you came to this game late, do you feel like you still have a lot of, you know, some significant good performances in you? And how much longer do you feel you can go at this as long as your body's responding?
You know what, man? I gave up trying to predict how long I can go, and I'm just on a field-by-field basis. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm just like, I'm going to do it until, you know, somebody pushed me out, man. If I go in and I look bad, I don't compete, you know, then I know it's time to get out. I'll be more real with myself than most people are. You know, even in the loss to Pulev, to me and my team, it was just a simple matter of not giving myself enough time to recover from the two tough David Price fights.
Agreed.
You see how easily I handled David. I'm in there competing. I'm not just competing with anybody. I'm competing with guys that's ranked in the top 10 in a lot of organizations. And I'm not only competing, I'm winning. So,
Tony, when that day comes that you can't compete anymore, are you prepared, or do you know any idea what you're going to do with life after boxing?
Well, you know, I already have a regular job. I work Homeland Security, love it. You know, great company in Coastal Security. Always, you know, give me time to prepare and do what I have to do and accept me back, you know, not just because I'm a fighter, because I'm a great employee. I love my job, and, you know, I don't miss work unless it's for boxing. So, you know, I already know what I've always, you know, before, I don't know if you guys realize how I got started, but I always wanted to be a police officer, you know, when I was a kid, man, and this was the next logical step for me.
Mm. That's great.
So let me ask you this on a different note. A guy from the, you know, Maryland, D.C. area that you're pretty good friends with, Seth Mitchell, can he rebuild and rebound from his latest defeat?
Well, again, it starts with the Orlando Solis fight. You know, I beat Orlando Solis. I'm ranked number 2 in the IBF. It's all.
No, I'm sorry, Tony. I was talking about Seth Mitchell. Can he rebuild or rebound from his defeat?
Oh man, you know, Seth's a homie. You know, like a little brother to me, man. I always wish him all the luck and all the you know, prosperity in this game, man. I mean, but the truth of the matter is, man, he gotta develop a better way to absorb those shots and still compete because he got skills and he got power. Or B, you know, become untouchable, you know, where he's not taking those shots as much, man. And, you know, I know it's not going to be B because it's just not in him to, you know, to be a, you know, runner or anything like that.
No, he's a warrior,
so
man.
Some way he got to develop a way to take better heavyweight shots.
Do you think there's a way to do that? And as a good friend of his, if you didn't think he could do that, you know, obviously it's not for you to tell any man what he should and shouldn't do. But if you didn't think he could do that, would you let him know? Look, Seth, you know, you're not going to – you just can't – that's one part of your game that's just going to be really hard to strengthen.
You know the funny thing about Seth, man, I've always tried to be a mentor to him, and he wasn't like other young fighters. He actually listened, you know, and he took heed to what I was telling him. And as a grown man, you go the way you think is best for you and your family.
Exactly.
But, you know, when I do see him, you know, he knows if he asks me, I'm always going to be honest with him. And you know it's not a place where it's coming from malice or jealousy. It's just one fighter talking to another. And anybody that knows me, though, I'm going to be upfront and truthful as I can be. So, yeah, I would tell him, you know. But, again, he's a man. I'm not going to ever tell another man what to do to support his family.
Exactly.
Because I'm going to do what I got to do to support my family.
Exactly. Exactly.
Great.
Tony, what do you think of Vladimir Klitschko's last performance against Povetkin?
It was masterful in some ways, and I know that sounds funny. But it also was dirty and just not entertaining, and it's just not fit for who Vladimir is, man. I think the world of Vladimir, man. I honestly think he's an all-time great, and, you know, until he starts believing that for himself, we're going to get performances like that.
Good
you know,
point.
Povetkin,
very good
Povetkin
point.
Is a guy where, you know, he's supposed to knock Povetkin out 4 or 5 rounds, man. You know, Povetkin's paid for him. Yeah, he got some skills. He's 6'2", a smallish heavyweight. Yeah, he got some power, but Vlad is great at keeping guys like that at a distance and just dominating them. And it just showed that I don't know if he just didn't take Povetkin that serious or he didn't train as hard as normal or, you know, he's just satisfied with getting victories in that manner.
Guys, we've also joining us tonight Glenn the Road Warrior Johnson, who is going to fight next week. Glenn, we've got...
At cruiserweight,
yes,
Glenn.
Oh, man. That's what happens when we get older. We get fatter, eh, with everybody, Glenn?
Wow. I don't know
about that, man. Speak for yourself. I'm still sexy. I don't know what you're talking about.
There's a lot of fat people supposed to be sexy. But you can't cross on the green and trooper.
it's a new tree. It's a new tree I'm climbing. You know, I'm testing out this. I'm still a light heavyweight. But you know, this fight just happened to come in the cruiserweight division, and I feel like I'm good enough for to take on these guys. So I'm taking the fight, and I'm looking forward to go make a splash. But nevertheless, I'm still campaigning at 175. I think I like myself better at that weight.
Great. Hey, Tony, I know I'm going to ask Glenn about how his football team is going to make out tomorrow.
I knew it was coming. I couldn't wait. We had
you
to just get boxing out the way first.
You know the weak string to pull on, don't you? You know the weak string. I'm telling you, man.
Boy, we just had to get boxing. I knew we couldn't wait.
I'm telling you, as soon as we started, you know, here we go. But, you know what? I'm riding it out, man. You know, I've got to ride with my Dolphins. I know we need to win this game tomorrow. And I'm hoping we always seem to find a way to lose. But you know what? It's time we shake that monkey, and I'm hoping we can do that tomorrow. So I'll be sitting at home with both fingers crossed and legs and arm all crossed and hoping that we can finally put the crap behind us and break through.
Great. Tony, what do you think your guys are going to do tomorrow?
Oh, man. Listen, I'm a Wizards fan right now, all right? Football season is over.
We're just joined by Dan Snyder. Dan, how are you tonight?
Wow.
Really?
Wow.
That sounds young, man. Why does that sound so young?
Wow. Where are my friends?
Wow. You guys were my friends.
Oh, my God.
You could wait.
Hey, Glenn, you're stepping up to fight on, is it Wednesday or Saturday night?
No, it's Wednesday night. Yeah, Wednesday night.
Great, yeah. Great. That's great. Tony's going to Istanbul in March. So we're going to make sure everybody knows about both fights. We'll make sure. We've only got three more shows before your fight on Wednesday, but we'll get it out there, and we'll get our other two stations to help us out and broadcast that you guys are fighting.
Hey, guys. I'm sorry, fellas. I was in the middle of something, man. I got to cut out on you guys, man.
Okay. All right, Tony.
Well,
thank you
guys very
much.
Call, man. No problem, man.
All right. Hey, Tony, have a great holiday
season. See you
later,
Glenn. Good luck, baby.
Tony, have a great holiday season, and thanks for everything. We really appreciate all your friendship over the years.
No problem, baby. Give me back, please.
All right, take care. So, Glenn, can you tell us about the guy you're going to fight, Bobby Gunn?
Yeah, he's a champ. I mean, he's a champion for a reason. You know, he's a big guy. He fought at heavyweight and on cruiserweight now and all of that stuff. So, you know, I respect his skill set, but more I have to respect his size.
He's a big guy,
and getting punched by a big man is never something that any person want to choose to do. So I have to go in there and be careful and get my job done. He definitely bring a challenge, but I believe that I'm up for it, and I'm going to go in there and make a splash, you know. Been a while since I stepped inside the ring, and I got to make a statement that I'm back in it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Bobby Gunn is actually a former bare-knuckle champion. We've had Bobby on the show as well.
Right.
Yeah, he was a bare-knuckle champion, and I think he's also, he's also a champion as well. In boxing, and you know, he fought a couple of name guys. He was trying to get this fight with Roy Jones, and Roy Jones
pulled out, and
I stepped in. So we're going to go take care of that business.
Glenn, you did step in after Roy pulled out to take the fight in Russia. Did you have a proper time to train, or was it something where you were already training? Last time we had talked, I know you had said you were stepping away for a little bit. So were you already kind of training and sharp, or how's that been going?
Yeah, I was training already. I was supposed to fight myself, and that fight fell through. And, you know, something told me to just keep on training. My spirit was broken for a little bit, and I said I walked away from the gym for about 2 days, and I heard about the fight fell through, I think, on a Wednesday, and I didn't go back to the gym that Thursday and Friday and Saturday, so that's 3 days. And I was back that Monday morning. I had a few days to get my spirit back up, and I was in there, you know, not with the same intensity like I was going to fight, but I was still getting my work in, and then this fight came about. The discussion of it was about 4 weeks ago. They were still thinking that Roy Jones might still be doing the fight, and so the possibility was there. I didn't have it yet, but the possibility was there. And then I just started stepping up my game a little bit, started training with a little more intensity. And then 2 weeks ago, the fight finalized. Finally came on my table to sign on, and we just get it done, and here we are today, getting ready to get into Wednesday and take your business.
Good.
Now, Glenn, depending on your success in with this fight, are you going to keep fighting, or are you looking to go back into retirement?
No, I'm still going to fight. I want to fight at 75 at light heavyweight. I want to come on back down to the light heavyweight division, after this fight. But, you know, if something else happens in the cruiserweight division that's worth it, then I might do something else there. But, my campaign is still at light heavyweight.
Glenn, you started your career at middleweight. Obviously, you fought most of your career at light heavyweight. You took advantage of the opportunity that was provided to you at 168. Have you done a lot of sparring with cruiserweights and heavyweights, bigger guys, to prepare you for this size challenge, which to me is going to be the most formidable thing about Bobby Gunn in regards to fighting you, is the significant size advantage. How have you been preparing yourself for that?
Yeah, I have been sparring with some cruiserweights and also sparring with some heavyweights as well. I got a lot of work in with one of the better cruiserweight guys that are around here in Miami. Can't remember his name, a Spanish Olympian guy who I think he's like 14 or 15 and 0 as a pro. So, and then I got some work in as well with an amateur guy, Asian kid into the Fort Lauderdale area, who's pretty good, and a couple of heavyweights that's around here. So I got some big guy working. But that's sparring. You get too ready, but still not going to let you know who you're fighting. It's nothing like getting in the ring with the guy that you're getting ready for. So I'm looking forward to that, and, Wednesday night should be fun.
Great. Is there anybody that after Bobby Gunn, is there anybody that you're looking to go after?
Well, the fight that I won is Bernard Hopkins. I mean, he and I, we fought early in my career and talk about fighting again never happened. And right now he's the light heavyweight champion. It's nothing like see two old veteran good, see who's the better old man. Let's get it done.
Good. Is there any, I know you've probably watched films on him and you probably got a book on him, but if you were to, are you going to change any style that you've been going to at this point for this fight?
Well, I'm not changing my style. I certainly make some adjustment. I needed to make some adjustments, so I did that. I had plenty of time to spend with myself as I haven't been active for a while now, so I made some adjustments. So I'm new and improved. I have a few things that I was doing incorrect that I correct over the years now. So I'm looking forward to unleash my new self to the boxing public, and hopefully they love it as much as I do.
Great.
Hey,
great.
Glenn, one thing I pointed out on the show a few weeks ago, your name came up and we were discussing you. And one of the things I mentioned was that one of your last few losses was to, at the time, a prospect in Britain by the name of George Groves, who was a fringe contender at that time.
Right.
Since then, George Groves has gone on to prove that he's a world-class fighter. Were you surprised by how his fight with Carl Froch played out, how well he performed, being as though you had been in the ring with both men? Or did you know that George Groves had that in him?
No, I know Judge Grove was a good fighter. I still expect Froch to win the fight, but I know Grove was going to give him a tough fight because he's a talented kid. He knows what he's doing. The only thing, both guys have the same problem, which they don't play defense very well. But outside of that, they do everything else pretty good. I know Grove have a little more hand speed and stuff like that, but Carl Froch was just more. What he was more like a man. He was physically stronger,
and he's more sturdy too.
Right, he don't punch harder, but he's stronger. You know what I mean? He's physical. He's more like a man. He's not. Grove was more like. He's strong as well, but he's like a boy strength against a man strength. And that's the difference in strength. And Grove have the speed. Carl Froch have the experience and the world-level experience and all of that stuff. Being a champion twice. So, there was a couple of factors there that you have to look at. But I really thought that Carl Froch would win the fight because of everything that he bring to the table.
Right.
Glenn, there are two big names at 175, Adonis Stevenson and Kovalev. What do you think about them?
I think they're great. Both of those guys are excellent. I think Kovalev is the better fighter, overall fighter. Stevenson, you know, he's strong and, you know, he's doing real good. I think his best win is when he knocked out, what's his name now?
Chad Dawson.
Chad Dawson, right. You know, so that's, you know, that's a good solid win for him. I don't know what went into his Chad Dawson's head that night. He went out there and go put his chin on the man's face, but nevertheless, that was a great win for him. But yeah, I have a lot of respect for both guys. They're good fighters.
Great.
If the opportunity presented itself, would you sign again? Oh, I'm pretty sure you would. But would it be feasible
you know
for you to sign against one of these guys?
You know this. You know this. You know this already. That's not a question you should even bother asking me because you already know the answer. Everybody who's listening already knows the answer. You know what I mean? Just give me a call. Tell me where and when. Either guy don't make a difference, and I'll be there. And I will be winning that fight. I'm looking forward to that fight if it ever happens for either guy. I'm excited about what I'm doing now, and you know, and I'm looking forward to any challenges that come my way.
Hey, Glenn, what do you think about the other light heavyweight titleist who actually fights tonight, the off-the-forgot titleist, who apparently Bernard Hopkins is actually targeting if he gets through his test tonight, Velvet Shumanoff? What do you think of Shumanoff?
You know, I don't know much about him. So it's not a lot I can say because I really don't know much about him. I mean, I know Bernard, I mean, you know, he's a crafty guy. Bernard is smart. He knows exactly what he's doing. And if Bernard is targeting a guy, there is two things. Is that a lot of money attached to that fight, or you already see some weakness that he's going to be able to exploit. So I don't know much about this guy, so I really can't see a lot of money attached to the fight. So it's got to be some weakness that he have that we're not already looking at and we could take advantage of. So, but I really
don't know
much about
the
guy. So I don't really know much about the guy at all, so I can't really say.
Great. Well, Glenn, we really appreciate you taking time away from your family tonight and give us some time. We you know we're in your corner as far as this fight's concerned. That we will only think good thoughts about it. We're going to try and make sure that the guys that live up in that area get up there to see you. So if you see Ty and Zito knocking on your door, you'll know who they are.
All right, man. Thanks for that. I appreciate it. You guys take care. Have a good night.
Have a very, very, very great holiday season and travel safe.
Oh, thanks. Same to you as well, brother.
Take care, bye. Wow, great show.
Oh wow,
Dr. Chris had a plumbing problem. It wasn't able to get on. I called him. He had a wrench in one hand, and his wife was screaming at him at the other because she couldn't cook because there's no water.
It would be interesting to talk to Dr. Chris about the Rigondeaux fight.
Oh, yeah.
He loves Rigondeaux.
Oh, I love Rigondeaux, too. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Also, helping him out in his plumbing tryst was Tex Koff. So I can just imagine how long it's going to take him to fix this thing.
Tex Koff, the horticulturalist.
Yeah.
Let's just stop and think on that for a little bit, fellas. Tex Koff, the horticulturalist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As he's screaming at the flowers to grow. Grow, damn it, grow!
Yeah, think of him as a plumber with a tool in his hand. Chris was telling me a story the other day. He says, how the hell he's going to do this this gardening stuff? He says, because he came over one time and he asked me to do something, and I handed him a shovel. So I turned around and he didn't know what the hell to do with it.
In fact, you don't want to beat the rose on the head with a shovel.
Yeah.
That's not how you get the rose to grow.
Shoot. Hey, Sergio Martinez had a little bit of a knuckle bunder on this last week, huh?
What happened? I did hear that he has been cleared to start training and resume training.
Yeah, he. It looks like he might get back in late June from the hand and knee trouble that he's had. But if he does, they say his first opponent's going to be Miguel Cotto.
That's the fight that looks like it's targeting. Canelo Alvarez and Golden Boy is trying to get Cotto in a ring. But right now, Cotto is looking like he is headed in one Sergio Martinez's direction to be the first four-time weight division champion from Puerto Rico. So
he's
moving to 160.
So he would move to 160 for Sergio.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess Valdemir must have had a walk in the park, according to what I read last week with Francisco Panetta.
He just try to stay busy, keep his name relevant.
Yeah, and keep out of politics while his brother's trying to run the country. I guess the other news of the week was Paulie Spadafora. Handed his first loss.
I tell you, yeah, Paulie Spadafora, his first loss. But I tell you, even bigger loss. Chris John, the long reigning Indonesian champion, was finally defeated. He was stopped in six. He didn't come out for like the sixth round. Against an opponent of not a big significant name. I can't even pronounce his name, actually. But he stopped Chris John in the sixth round. Zito, I meant to tell you that. So the long, long reign of Chris John has finally come to an end. It's been a controversial reign because he's fought mostly in Indonesia. Some people think that some of his fights were gift decisions. Some people thought he lost the fight to Juan Manuel Marquez. Either way, the guy's been a long-reigning champion, and no one had been able, whether you thought he lost or not, no one had been able to decisively defeat this gentleman until just this recent past week. So good luck to Chris John.
Yeah. I guess Fedorchenko had a loss, too, to who was it? Philly Story. It was a 12th round decision, a split decision, but he lost the decision. So I don't know, but the one that I really like was Brian Minto with his win down
that
there in New Zealand.
That was a big win for Brian.
Yes,
it
was.
That was a huge win for Brian. That was a huge win. Speaking of wins and big wins, does Broner get a big win tonight against Madonna, fellas? What do you think?
I think so.
I think it's going to be a better fight than everybody anticipates. Madonna's boxing has gotten better. I just think Broner's going to be the bigger guy. Hand speed just a little bit faster. I think it's going to go decision, but Broner's going to get it.
Great.
Non-controversial.
All right, well, we're up to the time here, and what a great show, man. Two big time boxers on, and the two of you guys, it makes my week. Do you want to lead us out?
I just want to thank you, Butch, very much for giving me this avenue to express this boxing. Want to also thank you, Ty, my partner, man. Thank you very much. I want to thank Dr. Ryan, who was on earlier. I want to thank Tony Thompson, definitely also. I want to thank Glenn Johnson. These shows are definitely in memory of Bob. And if anyone wants to hear any fighting words, please do call. Huh?
Definitely want to thank Dr. Ron, Tony Thompson, Glenn Johnson. Want to wish them all luck in upcoming endeavors. We got to wish our buddy Amir Hardcore Mansoor luck tonight against Kelvin Price. Right. We'll be tuned into the TV. Check you out, brother. Good luck. Make it happen.
Yeah.
Look forward each and every week to our diatribes on boxing. See you guys next week. Bob is our co-pilot.
Great. Well, I want to thank you guys, especially every week. You do a great job, and I appreciate it. Tony, I'll be on the phone with Tony in a little while, laughing some more about when he's going to wear his getup. Didn't want to bring that up on the radio, but I did have to do the thing about after he took a shot at the Eagles in the first show. So he had to take a shot. But I want to thank Glenn. Glenn's always a fun interview and always never evades a question, goes straight to it, just like he does with his fighting. Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night in grateful appreciation of the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, men and women in police and fire services. When you're out there and you see somebody in uniform, just walk up to them and say thank you for your service. It means a world of difference to each and every one of us out there. We also dedicate these programs to fallen officers, Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Patrolman David Crawford, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Arnolfo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Deputy Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Office, Chief Al Hogle, Longboat Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Patrol Division, Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, MIT Officer Sean Collier, and Sergeant Mike Wilson of the originally Sarasota County Sheriff's Office, but when life was taken, he was with the Charlotte County Sheriff's Office. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, sometime we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sun shine softly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hollow of his hand. Good night.
Shemalek ma'ilama Shemahezahir ma Tzuna shenevorat fed Hakuig again ma'ir ma
County Dispatch in 1999. County Dispatch in 1999. County Dispatch in 1999. All units be advised, 1999 has responded to his last emergency. May God have mercy on his soul. Hey, Bob, we miss you.